Occasionally, a mother and a father will have two or three children, and every one of them will reach positions of importance, will reach positions of being famous, renowned, and well known. There was such a couple in the nation of Israel in the long ago. The name of this couple was Amram and Jochebed. The Bible says, "And the name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whose mother bare her to Levi in Egypt. And she bare unto Amram Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, their sister." Numbers 26:59. Here was a couple who gave birth to three children who played an extremely important part in the history of the nation of Israel. Tonight we're going to take one of those children and we're going to focus our attention upon some of the elements of his life. No, not Moses. Tonight we're going to be studying that middle child of Jochebed and Amram, a man by the name of Aaron. Most of us know Aaron as the mouthpiece of Moses, don't we? And we also know that Aaron was the very first high priest of Israel. But Aaron was also an imperfect man. And oftentimes we see Aaron not acting as he ought to act. In fact, I've entitled the lesson as follows: Aaron the Follower. So let's take the next few moments and let's look at both the good and the bad with regard to this man, Aaron of Israel. Point number one: Aaron was the mouthpiece for Moses. In fact, this is the first introduction that we have to this particular individual. Moses had been living in the land of Midian. Moses had been apart from his people for a long period of time, around 40 years. And all of a sudden, while keeping sheep, he looks up upon a mountain and he sees a burning bush. But what intrigued him was the fact that the bush burned but did not burn completely up. He went up to that bush and it was God who spoke to him out of that burning bush and told him that it's his responsibility to go to the children of Israel, release those individuals, and bring them into freedom. Folks, Moses had every reason in the world not to do it, didn't he? Excuse after excuse after excuse he continually offered unto God. And one of them was as follows: "I am of slow speech and of a slow tongue." Numbers 4, verse 10. Folks, those words, the Bible says, angered God. And it was at that point that God selected a man by the name of Aaron, Moses' brother, to become his mouthpiece. In Numbers chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says that God selected him because he knew that Aaron could speak well. In verse 15, he tells Moses, "Moses, it is going to be up to you to put your words in his mouth." Now look at Exodus 4:16. "And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be unto thee as a mouth, and thou shalt be unto him instead of God." Folks, God would speak to Moses, Moses would speak to Aaron, and Aaron would then be the voice piece of the great prophet of Israel, Moses himself. When you think of that position, Do you think it was a high and lofty position among the nation of Israel? Oh, absolutely. Just think of all the privileges that came with that kind of a position. Wherever Moses went, Aaron went. Folks, there's only one exception to that, isn't there? And that was when Moses ascended up to Mount Sinai in order to receive the law. Every other time, wherever Moses is, Aaron is right there by his side. He stood before the children of Israel and made the announcement that Moses had been selected to lead them out of Israel. Exodus chapter 4, verse 29. He was the one who was privileged to walk with Moses into the very courts of Pharaoh himself and announce, "Let my people go." Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Can you imagine all of the sights and all of the experiences that Aaron could stand before us and enumerate one after another? And it was because of this lofty, high position that he was so privileged to get to see those things. But with every position of leadership, there is the flip side of that coin, isn't there? Yes, there's privileges. Yes, there's honor. Yes, there are individuals who give you great respect, but on the other side of that is all of the bad and the ugly, isn't it? You turn over to Numbers, the 16th chapter, in verse 3, and the Bible says this, "And they spake against Moses, and," guess who? "Aaron. And they said unto them, you take too much upon yourself. Are not all the congregation holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them? Why then do you lift yourselves up above the congregation of the Lord?" Folks, here was the entire congregation of Israel in opposition, not just to Moses, but also to the brother Aaron. Can you imagine Aaron standing over there? "Whoa, wait just a minute, I'm just a mouthpiece." Folks, that's not what he could say, is he? He's in just as lofty a position, just as high velocity of a position as was Moses. And whatever Moses received, Aaron received as well. You know, I hear a lot of young people longing for positions of responsibility. "Oh, I want to be a leader. I want to be somebody that others follow. I want to be in this position or that position." Well, folks, with every responsibility, with every privilege, also comes the challenges, doesn't it? I turn on the TV oftentimes and turn on the news, and there's a man there by the name of Jay Carney. Folks, I don't want that man's position. Do you? Now, just think about the position that he has. He's the spokesman for the White House, is he not? He gets to talk to the president. He gets to talk to the president's staff. He gets to eat the president-type food. He gets to go to all the banquets. He gets to travel around from here to there to here to there. But every day he stands in that newsroom, doesn't he? I don't want that position. Questioned, demeaned, ridiculed, antagonized. Folks, that's a tough job, isn't it? I've got a daughter who graduated with a PhD in physical therapy. And you say, "Ooh, Vic, that's such a good position." That's what I thought too. Until I heard about what she has to do. Folks, when you have that kind of a position and you go on to a unit, guess what? You demand. I'm serious. You've got all the assistant physical and therapists under you. You have all the interns under you. And you, not the manager, you are the one who is responsible for every one of them. Sometimes they like you. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they love the way that you approach physical therapy. And guess what? Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they do what you say. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they speak kind words to you, and sometimes you don't. My daughter's not even 30, and she's learning. Folks, with every lofty position, there comes great privilege, but also great burdens and challenges and responsibilities. And poor old Aaron learned that quickly as they were leading the nation of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Position number two is found in Exodus 28, verse 1. God is speaking to Moses and he speaks these words. Take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons, listen to this, and separate them from Israel. Folks, God is choosing these men out of all of the others in the nation. Now listen to this. And he, talking about Aaron, and he shall minister unto me in the priest's office. Folks, he's talking there about the high priestly office in Israel. You're talking about pomp, are you not? You're talking about ceremony. You're talking about a uniform that stood out head and shoulders above every other position in the nation of Israel. And wow, it was fraught with wonderful responsibilities, was it not? Folks, here is one man in the entirety of the nation who is the go-between between Israel and the Almighty God. That's what a high priest did. That's what his responsibility was. Can you imagine God selecting you to be the go-between between every other individual in the nation and the Almighty God? Folks, that's a lofty position, is it not? Secondly, it was his responsibility to oversee everything that transpired as far as the priestly office was concerned. He had to make certain that his sons, who were placed in certain positions, had to do their responsibilities. He had to make certain that the sons of Levi carried out their obligations. He had to make dead certain that every one of the sacrifices were carried out in just the proper manner. It was his responsibility to make certain that the feast days were observed on a regular basis. Folks, here's a man charged with great responsibility. And on the 7th month and the 14th day of the month, he was the one man in all of Israel who entered in to the Holy of Holies. Folks, that's that second compartment in the temple, isn't it? That second compartment in the tabernacle, separated by a veil. And no man was to enter therein. Why? Because it contained the altar. It contained the mercy seat. It was the dwelling place of God. Once a year, Aaron was privileged to take the blood of a heifer into that place and sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat of the Almighty God in forgiveness of the sins of the nation of Israel. Folks, what a position. Now I challenge you to do something. Go home and you just read through the books of Exodus and Numbers. And find me one instance where Aaron was not faithful to his high priestly calling. And guess what? You don't find one. Not one. In any responsibility, in any duty that God had given to this man, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. Now that's not true of his sons, is it? He turned to Leviticus 10 and his sons, Nadab and Abihu, offered up strange fire before the Lord, didn't they? And they died there before the Lord because of that. But not Aaron. Aaron did exactly what God required of him in that office. And folks, should that not be our mentality as well? You and I have entered into the precious church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And my friends, it is the temple of the Almighty God. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. And you and I, in our priestly office, need to fulfill our role with diligence and with responsibility. We need to make dead certain that we carry out our duties just as Aaron carried out his. Now here's something that's interesting though. Aaron's priesthood no longer exists today. Now there's a lot of individuals who would like to believe that we're still under the old covenant, wouldn't they? That's still the law that we are to abide by. Folks, that's not so. If you and I were still under the law of Moses, then guess what? Jesus Christ could not be our high priest today. And yet that's exactly what he is, isn't he? Hebrews 5, 6, and 7 talk about the priestly function of Jesus Christ in that high priestly office. But not after the Aaronic priesthood. Oh no. The Bible says that he is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. 6 times in the book of Hebrews that is emphasized. A priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 6 and 10 and other references. You turn over to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 12 and listen to what the inspired writer says. A change in the priesthood necessitates a change in the law. Folks, if Jesus is truly a high priest today, he comes from the line of Judah. If he's really in that office, then the law of Moses is no longer a binding, effective law. When Jesus became a high priest, that old law was done away. A new law came into effect that allowed him to operate as our high priest. We are not under the law of Moses anymore. We are not under that old man-made Levitical Aaronic priesthood of old. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? You'll be thankful for that in a few minutes as we continue to talk about old Aaron. Point number 3. Aaron was a man who did not mind functioning in a support position. We turn to Exodus the 17th chapter in verse 8. We find the children of Israel at a place called Rephidim. And while they were there, an enemy began to attack the nation of Israel. A very common enemy. An enemy known by most of us. The Bible refers to them as Amalek. Evil, corrupt individuals. At the time, Joshua is the commander of the forces of Israel. Moses sends him down to the battlefield, and Moses ascends a hill just off to the side, and he observes what is transpiring on the field of battle. As Moses stands there, when he lifts up his hand with his rod in one, the children of Israel prevail. But any time that those hands dropped, Amalek prevailed. Now you just go home tonight and you get in front of a mirror. You get you a staff and you just stand there for a while. Just watch yourself. Well, see, it doesn't take you very long. Those old hands get heavy, don't they? You get tired. And you want to rest and you want to drop those arms. That's what kept happening to Moses. The Bible says that Moses' hands were heavy. But guess what? He had 2 men to support him. And they put a stone under him and he sat there on. And Aaron and Hur stood on either side of him, one on the one side and one on the other, and stayed up his hands, and his hands were steady till the going down of the sun. Now you think about that. There's Moses sitting right there, and you're just standing there holding his hand. That's all you're doing. All day long, that's all you do. Hold up his hands. But folks, guess what? Because of that support position, the nation of Israel defeated the Amalekites that day. They were victorious and successful because two men were willing to be supports to their leader. There is not one congregation of the Lord's people that can be successful unless it has a support system. Folks, my job as the preacher is important, but I would never say it is the most important job of this congregation. The elders, they have a very important job, do they not? And even their job is not the most important task within a congregation. Folks, if you take away all the support people out of the work of the local church, guess what happens? The church falters. The church goes down. The work isn't efficient. The congregation is not successful. And we've got individuals in this congregation who are wonderful support people, aren't you? We've got individuals who are in there right now recording my lesson. Now, I've had to stand up here and have a recorder and do all the recording and punching of the buttons and all that stuff. Folks, that's not very fun when you've got to do it all. It's wonderful to have those guys back there tape the things that I'm saying. Make wonderful sleep aids. Some of you got that, didn't you? You bottle a preacher's breath and I'd be rich. Guarantee you. Guys, we've got ladies who work back there in the educational supply room. Some people may not even know who those women are. And guess what? They're making things. They're making certain that things are in the files so that when our teachers come in, those things are ready to be taken to the classroom. Individuals who prepare the communion. They come in 15, 20, 30 minutes early, prepare the communion to make certain that it's here for us every time we worship. Individuals who change those numbers. Individuals who work out in the yard. Folks, individuals who do the small things in congregations. But if they were not done, we would have problems. And I thank God that there are individuals in congregations who understand the importance of being a support person, and they love that responsibility, and they could care less whether they get any glory for it or not. I don't know about you, but it would not be too glorious standing beside Moses holding up his hands all day. But guess what? It was a vital position, wasn't it? And guys, anything you volunteer to do, any work and labor that you commit yourself to do, even if it's the most minute things behind the scenes, guess what? It is helping this congregation to be successful as far as God is concerned. And God sees every labor that is done by every individual in this congregation. Be an Aaron and be willing to be a support person and aid those individuals who are in positions of leadership. Folks, don't we all have the same end? And the same end is just to be successful, isn't it? And who cares who gets the glory? In fact, only God ought to receive that, hadn't he? Boy, we've talked about Aaron in a good light so far, haven't we? The mouthpiece of Moses. First man to ever occupy the position of high priest. A go-between between God and man. A man who's willing to stand beside Moses and give him the support that he needs in order for a battle to be won. What a man! But this poor man had a flaw. And his flaw was this. It was easy for him to move from position of leader to follower. And you see it happening in his life over and over and over again. In fact, the Bible informs us of at least three times that instead of leading, he became a follower of others. All of us are familiar with one of those times, aren't we? Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai to receive the law, and he was there a long time, wasn't he? Folks, 40 days is a long time. We turn over to Exodus chapter 38 and verse 1, and the people have no clue where Moses is. And they approach Aaron and they say this, "Up! Make for us gods that we may follow them. For as for this Moses, we know not what has become of him." Folks, I don't know about you, but at that very moment, oh, Aaron should have stood up, shouldn't he? "Wait a minute, guys. What in the world are you doing? We're not going to be involving ourselves in any idol worship. We're going to wait on Moses. He's gone to get the law. He'll come back down from getting that law. Just be patient. Just wait. We are not going to do this." And guess what? Not one word of protest by Aaron. Not one. It's unbelievable, isn't it? All he says is this: "Give me your golden earrings." Now, folks, we're talking about anywhere from 1 million to 3 million people. That's a lot of earrings, is it not? And all those individuals took out those earrings, and both men and women wore them at the time. And the Bible says that he received them from them. And he took a graving tool, and after it, he fashioned a molten calf. Exodus 38, verse 4. Can you imagine? Here's a man going to occupy the position of high priest. Here's the man who's the spokesman for Moses. Here's a man who has witnessed all the miracles and all the power of the Almighty God. And what's he doing? He makes a molten calf for the children of Israel. Look at verse 5. "And when he saw it, he built an altar before it and made proclamation unto the people, saying, 'Tomorrow will be a feast unto the Lord.'" Unbelievable, isn't it? Fashions the calf, builds the altar, and proclaims the feast day, the feast of revelry, the feast of sin, the feast of iniquity. Who is this man? Aaron. Folks, who's he following? He's following the people, is he not? Here's one man before millions. I've got a decision to make. And very quickly, what does he do? He transforms himself and he immediately follows the will, the sinful will of those individuals. Children of Israel leave Mount Sinai. They are now wandering through the wilderness. Numbers, the 12th chapter. Listen to what we are told. "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman which he had married." Because he had married an Ethiopian woman. I just find that repetition interesting, don't you? I think what God is saying is this. Yes, he had married an Ethiopian woman. There's no doubt about that. And because of that, they immediately confront him. And listen to what they say unto him. "Has God spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us. Now, who's this Miriam? We hadn't talked about Miriam very much. A while ago, the birth order sounded like Moses, Aaron, Miriam. That's not it, folks. It's the other way around. Miriam, Moses. I mean, Miriam, Aaron, then Moses. Aaron is a younger brother to Miriam. I don't know how many years of age difference was there, but he's the younger. Boy, you get a woman with a spur under her saddle, you better watch out, hadn't you? What you laughing about, Ian? It's serious, isn't it? Here Miriam is watching Moses, and guess what? She can't hardly stand it. Who does this Moses think he is, my younger brother? So what does she do? She teams up with Aaron, doesn't she? Hey, Aaron, come here. You think it's right for old Moses to act like he's the spokesman? What about us? Aren't we important? And they just confront him. And poor little Aaron, he just follows right along in Big Sister's footsteps. Now, why do I say that, folks? If you continue to read the text, God intervenes, doesn't he? You see, in verse 2, it ends with these words, "And the Lord heard them." You need to be careful what you say about anybody, because the Lord's hearing you. They heard Miriam, they heard Aaron speaking against Moses. But guess who was the only one punished? The only one punished was Miriam, wasn't she? God inflicted her with leprosy that day. And had it not been for the loving, kind, intercessory prayer of Moses, she would have stayed a leper. Apparently, at least it seems like, Miriam was the one who took the lead. And what was Aaron doing? He was just tagging along. Folks, you better be careful about being a tag-along. A follower, that's what he was, wasn't he? Let's jump another 8 chapters in the book of Numbers, and we come to Numbers, the 20th chapter. This time, the children of Israel are in the desert called Zin, Z-I-N, and they're encamped at a place called Kadesh. And there is absolutely no water there. Uh-oh. Let God's children get a few things out of place. Things aren't comfortable just the way they want them. And guess what? They go to complaining, don't they? Let the air condition be too hot or too cold. We gonna know about it, won't we? No water, folks. So guess what the people do? They begin to complain against Moses and against Aaron. Moses and Aaron go before God and they ask, what do they need to do? And we all know what God says. Take the rod and gather the congregation together and speak to the rock, and water shall come forth abundantly. Moses takes his rod. Aaron and Moses gather the people together. Moses stands before the children of Israel and he speaks to them with these words. "Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And he smote the rock twice. Water came forth abundantly, didn't it? Now, folks, the text says it was Moses who spoke to the children of Israel, and that it was Moses who smote that rock. But you get to verse 12, and God holds two men accountable, doesn't he? "And God said unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, ye shall not lead this congregation into the land which I have given them." Now wait a minute. I thought it was Moses who spoke to the people. I thought it was Moses who smote that rock. And yet God holds two men accountable, doesn't he? He tells Aaron and Moses, neither one of you are going in. Why, folks? Aaron's standing right there beside Moses, isn't he? Aaron heard everything that God had told him to do. And Aaron should have turned over there at Moses and said, "Wait a minute, Moses. Calm down a minute. I know you're angry. I know you're upset. I am too. But God has not commanded us to smite that rock. He said, speak to that rock." He should have stopped his brother, and he didn't stop him, folks. He just followed along, just like he had always done. A follower. I know teachers at school can see leaders in their classes and they can see followers, can't they? I watch my grandchildren. And my little Cole, guess what? He's a follower, folks. I don't like that. But he is. You get a little guy over here doing something, guess what? Ooh-wee. Here goes Cole. That looks fun. Don't matter whether it's wrong. Over there he is. There's a lot of lessons we can learn from Aaron about followers, isn't it? Folks, you can be in high positions in a nation and still be a follower. Isn't that something? A leader can be a follower. And I find it interesting in these three instances that we learn these lessons. Number one, do not be a follower of a multitude to do evil. That's what Aaron did in the first position, didn't he? Secondly, do not follow your relatives to do evil. That's what he did in the second position. Follow Miriam, did he not? Number three, do not follow your superiors to do evil. He followed his brother Moses. Yes, Moses was higher than he was. But you don't follow a superior, folks, to do what's evil. Never do you do any of them. Don't follow a multitude. Don't follow your relatives. Don't follow a superior in anything that is evil. A follower's weak, isn't he? Follower's weak. He takes the path of least resistance, doesn't he? And guess what, folks? A follower does not have an influence for good, does he? He has an influence for evil. In every instance where Aaron chose to be a follower, evil ensued, did it not? Idolatry of the nation, rebellion against God's leader, a refusal to obey the Almighty God. Folks, if you just follow along and tag along, you're going to run right into evil at some point. And fourthly, you follow that which is evil, and you follow the multitudes, there is no way you can be pleasing to the Almighty God. It's impossible. Oh, Aaron, do you know I've never preached a lesson on Aaron until tonight? It's amazing. I've been preaching 30 years, and there's a lot of subjects I've never preached on before. And Aaron's one of them. You open up your Bible dictionary, and guess who's the first person that's there? A.A. Aaron. Now, I never preached on him. But folks, Aaron is a good man, is he not? In a lot of respects, he is a worthy example to be followed. But he had a flaw in that he was a follower. The last time we read of Aaron, as far as in his lifetime, is in Numbers, the 33rd chapter. In verse 38, he dies on a mountain known as Mount Hor. Folks, guess what? That was not in the promised land. God's will came to pass. You didn't sanctify me. You will not lead this congregation into the land that I have promised. He died an old man, though. Numbers 33:39 says that he died at the age of 123 years old. That means I got 70 more years if I live as long as he does. That's a long time, isn't it? I got to thinking, is there anything else ever said about Aaron in the rest of the Bible? Well, there's a lot said in the book of Hebrews about his high priesthood and things. But one of the most interesting verses was written by one of the psalmists. Psalm 106, verse 16. Listen to what the text says. And they envied Moses in the camp, and Aaron, listen to this, the saint of the Lord. Wow. If that psalmist be David, and he looks at old Aaron, guess what he sees, folks? Yes, a man with flaws, a man who at times erred and followed individuals, but he says here was a man who was a saint of God. Isn't that a wonderful, encouraging message for us? Folks, let me tell you what. I don't always get it right, do you? I don't always stay steadfast and faithful. There are times when I err. There are times when I sin. But guess what? You can come to the conclusion of your life and you can still be a saint of God. And folks, that's what we need to strive for, isn't it? Maybe you've not been faithful. Maybe you have been a follower, much like Aaron. You followed multitudes to do evil, relatives to do evil, superiors, folks. Get out of all that and follow God and be faithful to Him. Maybe you're not even a child of God and you need to be one tonight. The steps are simple, aren't they? Hear the gospel, believe in the Christ, repent of sins, confess the precious name of Jesus, and be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Acts 2:38. Folks, nothing any man, woman, child, or religious organization says will ever change those words. Do you need to do that tonight? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?